Let's take our song books. Let's sing to page 393.
We'll be all this ahead. 393. Sing the Lord's praise, 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 the
a time to laugh. One Sunday morning, a mother called for her son to get out of the bed and get ready for church. "I ain't going," was his reply. But the old lady wouldn't give up. At his mother's persistence, nagging, he challenged, "Give me one good reason why I should go to church." The mother said, "I'll give you three good reasons why you should go to church. First, I'm your mother and I said you're going. Amen. Second, you're 40 years old and old enough to know better. Third, you're the preacher and they need you there." I thought that was cute. I forget who gave it. Brother Smith or somebody gave that to me. Amen. All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn to John chapter 14. You know, I just feel a good spirit in here tonight. I really do. And I thank God for the good singing and choir singing and you being here tonight. To be honest with you, I really didn't know what really want to preach after the message this morning. But I was reading over here in Judges chapter 14 and I had a sermon. I thought, well, maybe this is what direction we ought to go tonight. Let's look at Judges chapter 14, start at verse 1. I want to bring a message tonight. I've titled it, Killing Lions and Eating Honey. Killing Lions and Eating Honey. Let's stand up for the reading of God's Word this morning, Judges chapter 14, verse 1. Verse 1, the Bible said, "And Samson went down to Timnath, and saw a woman of Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of Philistine. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then Samson went down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hands. But he told not his father nor his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." Father, thank you for this time. Once again, we come together on Sunday night to break forth the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for being so good to people like us. We thank you, Lord, for showing mercy and giving us peace and giving us grace when we need it. And Father, Lord, we know that the fight is on. Lord, we know, Father, that there are spiritual warfare and principalities, Lord, above this earth that's seeking to destroy and to devour like a lion. Now, Father, we pray, Father, for protection around this ministry, around every man and woman, boy and girl, every child of God. Lord, we pray for strength and courage to march on for Thee. Now, Father, in this simple message, Lord, would You, Lord, give us something that would help us to be a better Christian? Something that would encourage our hearts. Something to remind us of Your great power and its availability to us. Now, Father, bless us tonight. And You already have. But, Father, do it again. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. I've learned some things. I'm 44 years old. I have learned there's a lot of roles that I play as a Christian. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a worker on the job, I'm a son to a mother and a father, I'm a brother to a brother. I'm a brother to a sister. And I'm a father to my children. And I'm a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of things that we do. Some may say, well, you got 10 hats on your head. Yeah, we've got a lot of different roles that we play. But the first thing that I should do as a Christian is I should please the Lord. I'm convinced tonight that if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, I said His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto us. I'm talking about being the husband that you need to be, or the wife that you need to be, or the mother and the father that you need to be, and the worker on the job that you need to be, and the church member that you need to be. Now, I believe that in order for me to live a life that's pleasing to God, I have to know what the Bible says. I've got to know a little bit about God's Word. I've got to know how to live. I've got to know how I should act as a Christian. I've got to know how I should walk as a Christian. Because it's in our living that determines... Are you listening? It is in our living that pleases God. You know, God don't look at the end of your life. He's looking at your life right now. He's looking where you're walking right now. He's listening to what you're saying right now. He's looking at what you're looking at right now. And so it's important that we do, as the Apostle Paul said, that we need to die daily. I love that song that we hear sung. It says, "One day of a time, one day at a time." And that's how we ought to live. Jesus said, when you pray this. He said, pray for your daily bread. Amen. He said, just pray for the daily needs that you have. When God was out in the wilderness with the children of Israel, He just gave them what they needed just for that day. And that's all I ask God for. God, just give me the strength one more day to go to work. Lord, just give me the strength to preach one more message. Lord, just give me the strength to be a friend to my friends. Lord, just give me the strength to be the best father or best husband that I can be. Now, the Bible, I love the Word of God. If you're a child of God and you've just studied the Word of God, or you've been saved a long time, if you're like me, you love the examples of how Christians should live and the Word of God. And the Bible is full of them. Amen? It's full of them. Now, but the most amazing characteristic I think about every character in the Word of God is that each person in the Word of God that I've studied, each person had a rough start. Amen. Sounds like some of us. Amen. I mean, we just didn't start off and take off with the Lord. We just kind of had a rough start. Maybe because our faith was weak, or maybe we didn't get fed the Word of God like we ought to. Amen. Or we didn't listen to the Word of God like we ought to. Or we missed a service or missed Sunday school or something. But in the Word of God, many of them had a rough start, but almost always had a glorious ending. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I believe this. I believe what you do today is what you'll be tomorrow. Young people, the way that you're living now will determine your adulthood. That's why you need to be walking in the straight path. Amen. That's why you need to be not to be running with the wrong crowd. That's why you need to be right in the middle. Young people say, Brother Richard, they say, well, we don't have to worry about God's will. We're not adults. Oh, yes, they do. Young people, I'm going to tell you, most people mess up their lives by the time they're a teenager until adulthood. You know, I don't understand. You know, Brother Bill, maybe it ought to be like this. Maybe what we should do, we should start off of this earth maybe being 80 or 90 years old and going down. We'd be a whole lot smarter, wouldn't we? Somebody say amen. Glory to God, I tell you what, there's some things that I've done in the past. There ain't no way I do now. I ain't stupid no more. Amen. But now, listen. So in knowing that fact, I have learned that we Christians must die to self before we start to live. Amen. You've got to die to your desires, to the old flesh. You've got to die. Paul said, I die daily. You've got to lose before you gain. You've got to suffer before you rejoice. You've got to pay the price before we conquer our weaknesses. We have to fail before we gain more ground. We have to be tempted before we are strengthened. We have to slay lions before we taste the sweetness of honey. Now tonight, I would like to take the early life of Samson and prove to you that we as Christians will face lions in our living, and what we do then will determine the type of Christian that we really are. Now listen real quickly here. Now, God's people Here in the book of Judges, the Israelites had sinned against God, which is a terrible thing. You never get ahead when you sin. Young people, you never get ahead when you disobey your mother and your father with honor. Some young people, they'll obey their mom and daddy, but not with honor. The promise says, obey with honor. Ye shall have long life. You say, well, I obey, but do you respect your mother and your father? Pity the young man or young woman that disobey and rebels against their mother and their father. Amen? I'm going to take some life insurance policy out on you. So the Lord delivered them, the Israelites, the people that had sinned, had delivered them into captivity into the hands of the wicked Philistines for 40 years, and sin will always bring you into captivity. You never get ahead with sin. Sin will take you further than you want to go and cost you more than you want to pay. Are you listening? Now, they were slaves. A lot of people maybe here tonight may be slaves to sin. And if you've disobeyed God, that's what you are. You are a slave to sin. Hey, we talk about slavery. We hate slavery. Amen? Nobody wants to be a slave. We're free. Amen? Glory to God, I have liberty in Jesus Christ. I'm free. Yes, free indeed, brother. But I want to tell you, sin will cause you to lose your freedom and will put you into bondage. For 40 years, the Israelites were slaves to the Philistines, until one day, thank God, God always has a day. Amen. Hallelujah. God always gets His day, don't He? Amen. God's got a day. This could be your day. Until one day, God spoke to a woman whose husband feared God. His name was Manoah. Manoah was a man of God. The angel of the Lord revealed to Manoah's wife, God's plan to deliver His people away from the Philistines. I'm glad that God has a plan to set us free, aren't you? That's called the plan of salvation. That's called the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad I've got a plan of escape. Hallelujah. One of these days, I'm going to exit stage heaven. Amen. I've got a way of escape. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. We've got a plan out of this place, folks. We've got a plan. And it ain't putting Nike shoes on and getting in bunk beds and putting black purple cloth over you either. That ain't the one I'm talking about. Them people didn't go to the place I'm going. The angel of the Lord revealed God's plan to these people. And the angel revealed to them that God was going to give them a son. Now she was barren and she couldn't have children. Boy, God can take care of that, can't He? God can take care of that. There was a son. Their son, the Bible says, now the angel told her, said, your son's going to be a Nazarite. A Nazarite had stick vows to live by. They could not drink wine or strong drink. They could not eat any unclean animal. And it means no pork chops. And they couldn't put no fat back in their turnip greens. And a razor should never touch his baby hair. Now, in chapter 5, verse 13, this son would be the beginning of God's deliverance for the Israelites. By the way, all things must have a beginning. This was the beginning of the deliverance of the children of Israel who had been slaves for 40 years. All something always has to have a beginning. A Bright Light Baptist Church had a beginning. Amen. Before you had a child, there was a beginning. Before there's a drug, there's a formula. Amen. So there's always, even God's creation, God said, in the beginning, God had a beginning. There's always a beginning before having deliverance. Now, and the woman bare a son. The Bible says, and called his name Samson. And the Bible says, the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Now, Samson in chapter 14, in verse 1, like most men about the age of 20, wanted a wife. Amen. I was 21 when I wanted my wife. Want them, I got them. Amen. I mean, got her, not two. Amen. So, he goes down to a village called Timnath of the Philistines, and there he saw a lovely woman. And he falls in love. Oh, praise God, what a wonderful feeling. Amen? Amen. You still in love, ain't you, fellas? Somebody say amen now. I mean, sweetheart, day's coming up here in Valentine. You ought to take that gal to the Valentine banquet now. And, of course, his mom and dad, of course, they disapproved because she was a Philistine. And they didn't understand that. And they kept arguing, son, you need to marry an Israelite. You ought to marry your own people. And, you know, we'd have probably said the same thing. But we must remember God's Holy Spirit was upon this man. God was upon Samson. His power was upon him. Almost God had to raise up Samson to be a judge and to deliver Israel from this bondage. Now, to understand this, you've got to look at verse 4. The Bible says, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. It was God's will that he would go down to the Philistines and fall in love with a Philistine woman. It was of the Lord, according to verse 4. Mom and Dad didn't like it, but according to verse 4, the Holy Spirit of God was upon this man, and it was of the Lord. Because God had plans to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. Now, so knowing that Samson was God's man, and somehow knowing that their son was going to judge the Philistines, they accepted the fact that Samson would marry this Philistine woman. So Samson then makes his way back down to Timnath to go get his wife. Amen. He goes down there, but before entering into the village of Timnath, he enters a vineyard along the way. And along the way, the Bible says in verse 5, and behold, a young lion roared against him. He went to the vineyard and a young lion went, roar! Roar! What the Bible said. That's in the Greek though, the Hebrew. And the young lion roared against it. Hey folks, in doing God's will, you know what? We're going to be faced with young lions. We're going to have lions that are going to roar against us. There will always be oppositions. Amen. Who don't have oppositions? There will always be bad reports. There will always be those that will despise you and not like you. Amen. Somebody said, I ain't got no friend. Well, it's because you're not friendly. The Bible says if you'll be friendly, you'll have friends. You want to have friends? Then show yourself friendly according to the Word of God. How many of you got a friend? Raise your hand. Amen. I'm glad you got some friends. Now, there will always be those, in a lot of cases, there will be those that will use cloaks of evil that others put on you to hide their sin. You know, I've down in the past in my ministry, I've had people that were out in sin. I've gone to doors and knocked on doors and they'd just be living in sin and they want to give me things. I've turned down money. I've turned down books. I've turned down all kinds of things. I've just turned them down because they want to be cloaks of evil and put them on other people and to hide their sin. Now, you know, here's what I say. Don't give me your water when at the same time you gossip about me. Amen. Do you want anybody's water at the same time they're going to gossip about you? I don't. Do you? No, sirree, I don't. Don't give me your food when at the same time you're going to give bad reports of me. I mean, I don't want to come to your house and eat your food, but I will if you'll invite me. I love turnip greens. I love fried chicken. I love them homemade potatoes baptized in gravy. But, I mean, I don't want to come eat your house if you're going to give bad reports about me. Amen. And I don't want you to come to my house and eat my food if I'm going to give bad reports about you. Don't give me your clothes and tell me how much you love me and at the same time you really hate me. I mean, I'll not be a part of your cloaks of evil. I don't want you to be a part of my cloaks of evil or your cloaks of evil. Amen? People use those things. People give things to hide their sins. People give things because to hide their wickedness. I know wealthy people and they give money away like crazy. I wish they'd give some this way. But they do, you know, but they're hiding their sins. They think they're going to have their sins forgiven because they give things away and they're hiding behind a cloak. And that cloak could be money, that cloak could be fame, that cloak could be a personality, but they want to hide behind these things, but yet at the same time give bad reports on us. I mean, if you hate me, just hate me. Don't hide it. Amen. I'd like you a whole lot better if you just tell me you'd hate me. Amen. Hey, Sunday school teacher, young lions are going to roar against you. I remember the years when I was a young Sunday school teacher, I had lions roaring against me. I used to teach teenagers and I used to teach adults and boy, I'd have young lions roaring against me. I mean, preachers, young lions are going to roar against you. Deacons, young lions are going to, church staff members, young lions are going to roar against you. Christian moms and dads, the young lions are going to roar. They're going to roar. They're out there, man. You just get ready. Go ahead and mark it down, brother. Those young lions will roar. They will try to devour you. And a young lion met Samson along his way. But thank God, verse 6, the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. I tell you what, you can worship God in the flesh, but you won't get no worse. You can serve God in the flesh, but you won't get no worse. You can try to fight lions. in the flesh, but you won't get nowhere. You need the Spirit of God upon you. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Not be filled with wine wherein is excess, but be you filled with the Spirit of God, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, which simply meaning that your voice is a different voice. Your life is a different life. Your desires are the desires of God. There are times when human efforts will not help you. Then you'll need the power of the Spirit of God. Every one of us on the top of our prayer list ought to be, pray for power. Pray for power. Every Christian here tonight, you ought to put up some words wherever your prayer list is. Pray for power. Oh God, give me power. Dear God, give me power on the job. Oh God, give me power behind the pulpit. Dear God, give me power up here in the choir. Dear God, give me power behind the guitar and the piano and the organ. Dear God, give me power in my Sunday school class. Ladies and gentlemen, the power of God is available for you and I if we'll just ask for it. You have not because you ask not. Ask for the power of God. It's available. That same power that fell down in Acts chapter 2 and the 5,000 souls one day got saved and 3,000 souls got saved the other day, and the men stood up and they spoke the words of God with boldness. The power of God was on them. We need the power of God. We need to pray for the power of God. This week for revival, we need the power of God. Why? Because there are young lions out there and they're well, I'm a pretty good cat, aren't I? I learned that at the Panthers game. But anyway, we need the power of God. Human effort won't get it. Living in the flesh won't do it. There are times that your doctor can't help you. And you need to pray for the, you need to call the elders of the church and have the pastor anoint you with oil that God may heal you. There'll be times that the medicine won't help you and you'll need the power of God on your life. You need God's power. There'll be a time your money won't help you. There'll be a time your friends won't help you. There'll be a time when human efforts will do you no good. And you better have the power of God there. It's available. Hallelujah for the power of God. Pray for power, Christian. Pray for power, young people. You will face the lions all along with your bare hands. Just remember, when all strength is gone, the power of God is with you. I never will forget, as a young preacher, man, preacher boy, pastored my first church, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Kings Mountain. And I'd never preached a funeral before. And I'd led a man by the name Grady Sis. I'd led him to the Lord. I'd went to his house and witnessed to him for several years, and he never got saved. Or for about a year, excuse me, about a year or so. He never got saved. One day he got sick. And I went up to the hospital and they was giving him oxygen. And I said, Grady, you know how to be saved. I said, Grady, I came up here to the Gastamore Hospital for one purpose, and that is I want to see you get saved. And old Grady, he began, Grady says, the tears began to grow down, fall down his face. He said, oh, preacher, he moved up, rust off his face like that. He said, preacher, I've been running. And Lord, he said, I know you've been telling me the truth, and I know I need to get saved. He said, preacher, I'm dying. Will God save me? And I said, God can. God can. God can save a man on his deathbed. If God can save a man hanging on the cross, about ready to breathe his last breath, God can save a man on his deathbed. Don't wait till you get there, though. Don't waste your life like the man on the cross did. But old Grady, he died. Went to heaven according to his testimony. And man, in my study, I was trying to get up my first funeral service sermon, Brother Richard. Man, I didn't know. I never preached a sermon before. I'd never been to school to preach. Of course, you know that by now. And I got my study, and I'd turn over here to the book of Hebrews, and I'd turn over here to the book of Romans, and I'd go to Psalms and Proverbs and the book of Job. And I said, dear God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Dear Lord, I've never preached a sermon, and it's going to be a graveside funeral. And dear Lord, I don't know what to say. I've never preached a funeral before. What am I going to say? And all of a sudden, God just said, shut up and get on your knees and pray for power. And I got out from behind my desk and I fell on my knees like this. And I said, dear God, I'm a young preacher and I don't know what to say at the graveyard. I've never preached a funeral, but oh God, give me power. And I begged for God's power. I begged for it. I said, God, give me power. God, I don't want to preach in the flesh beside that graveyard. I said, Grady's got a lot of loved ones that's going to be there, and they're on their way to hell. He said, a lot of them are lost. I said, God, I need your power. I went to that funeral. A woman by the name of Juanita Childress, she sung a couple songs, Amazing Grace, sung them a cappella.
And boy, I just felt the power of God come on me. I mean, it started on my feet, and it come up my back to the top of my head, and it hit me right here. And I got up, I opened up my Bible, I just opened it up, and I don't remember what I said. Honestly, I didn't know what I said. I got up there, and I just preached the Word of God, and I did what God had laid on my heart, and the power of God was there. And before that little old service at the Kings Mountain Cemetery was over, there were 12 souls that got saved there at the graveyard. Why? Because I prayed for the power of God. I couldn't do it in the flesh. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. But the power of God knows what to do. Pray for power. Now, on his way back, Samson, on his way back from visiting his girlfriend, and you're to visit your girlfriend at least once a week. Where's my daughter? There's Jonathan. Y'all get that? Anyway. So twice a week will be fine. Jonathan, that'll be fine. On his... No, you come... I had... Let's see who was... Kelly or... Well, anyway, I'm better quit talking about calling names here. Anyway, they was taking up for Jonathan and Dana. Anyway, God will forgive them for that. But anyway... Yeah, okay, all right. Boy, it's tough being the daughter to the preacher, you know what? Amen. And especially the boyfriend to the preacher's daughter. He came back to the message. He came back and he saw that carcass of that lion that he killed with his bare hands with the power of God. A swarm of honeybees had made honey in the dead lion. Honey is some of the best food you can eat because it's already pre-digested. You like honey? Say amen. Honey on cathead biscuits is wonderful, baptized with butter, of course. So he took his hands, the Bible says, the same hands that he killed the lion, he used the same hands, are you listening? The hands that he used to kill the lion, it was the same hands that he reached in the carcass of the lion, and he dipped the sweetness of the honey. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying no lion, no honey. No lion, no honey. Always going to be lion. Now here's the message real quick here. As a believer in Christ, we will face many conflicts in this life. You believe that? Say amen. Simply because we are still living in this world, and this world is corrupt, and this flesh is corrupt. You believe that? Say amen. Now, King David had his conflicts. Noah had his conflicts. Abraham had his conflicts. Jesus had his conflicts. Peter had his conflicts. And Paul had his conflicts. They all had conflicts. But let me remind you that a believer also has sweets as well as conflicts. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. It's sweet to trust Jesus. It's sweet to win someone to Christ. It's sweet to bathe into the Word of God. It's sweet to be blessed by God. It's sweet to help a needy child. It's sweet to help a lonely widow woman. It's sweet to help fatherless children. I'm simply saying tonight, no lion, no honey. No cross, no crown. No conflict, no conquest. No sweat, no sweet. Go ahead and expect great temptations. They're coming. Go ahead and expect severe trials. Samson was not hunting when he was on his way to Timothy. He wasn't hunting for the lions, but the lion was hunting him. Samson was going for something a little bit more pleasurable for his wife, but the lion was stalking him the whole time. And I will remind you that the lion is the devil. The lion the devil is a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking. And this lion was seeking him. Verse 5, it said again, behold, a lion roared against him. I mean, you just got saved? Glory to God. All your troubles are gone? Nope. They're just beginning. They're just beginning. Boy, when the devil's got you, he don't have to work too hard. But buddy, when you get bathed in the blood of Jesus Christ, he's got to work hard to stop you from serving God. There have been many of good men and women who love God, and the devil stopped them on the track. The lion roared, "Roar!" And they turned their backs on God. There's not any temptation in this world that God's not able to give you a way of escape of that temptation. If you want it. If you want it. Behold, a young lion roared against him. The young lion, they're awaiting in the bushes. There's not a lion in your life that cannot be destroyed by the power of God. Most of our conflicts will be faced usually when we're young. Did you know that? From 0 to 70, when you're young, you're going to be faced with conflicts. You're going to be faced with temptation. Our young people right now are being bombarded with temptations of the lust of the flesh. I mean, every movie it seems like it comes out and things will be, it's always with the flesh. They're not selling drugs or excuse me, they're not selling cars, they're selling sex. They're not selling washing the turf. I mean, it's always something sex. The temptation out there, young people, hey, young people, the young lions are roaring against you. But I want to remind you, the power of God will help you to find a way to escape that temptation. Every lion you kill in your Christian walk will also bring forth honey. Mother, we are supposed to be conquerors, are we not? Now you know the rest of the story about Samson. He got out of God's will. You know the story. You know his end results. You know the end results, how he turned, how he said, Lord, give me one more chance. Give me one more chance that I may avenge the Philistines for my eyes. And a young lad, the Bible says, a young teenage boy came up there and took big old Samson's hands and put them on the pillars of the porch that the Philistines were sitting on. And old Samson, as he grabbed that old pillar there, and he said, Dear God, give me strength one more time that I may avenge thine enemies. And the power of God came on him again. And he pulled those old pillars down. And those Philistines, thousands of them, just died in one day. And through that, God delivered His people. All because of the power of God. Young lions are going to roar against us, Bright Light Baptist Church. But remember the power of God. Young lions of temptations and lust and hate and gossip and bad reports are going to roar against you. But just remember, the power of God is available for you. I was going through a tough time in my young ministry. A lot I didn't know. A lot I thought I knew and I didn't know. I just about worked myself to death. I worked myself so hard that I finally realized that, hey, I was serving God in the flesh. For about 6 months, I went up to the church, that little old storefront building down on the Grover Road, owned by Roger Connors. It was a dance hall before we made a church out of it. And the neighbors, they told me often, we're glad the church is in here. Says they'd have these dances here and there'd be drugs and fighting and drinking and all that stuff going. We're so glad that the church is here. For 6 months, on a Saturday night, I'd go up to that church around 11 o'clock at night. Occasionally I'd have a couple of my deacons who would be with me. And we'd get at the altar and we wouldn't kneel at the altar. Like a lot of times we do, we laid flat on the altar, just belly flat, and praying for God's power, for God's protection on the ministry. And you know what we experienced? After we did that, we experienced God's power. We've seen God every week meet the financial needs of that little old church. We've seen God in just a couple of years raise $35,000 to buy a piece of land that was probably worth $75,000 because of the power of God was there. We saw the attendance go from about a 40 to 160. We ran 5 buses all over Kings Mountain. We had a Christian school. We had Sunday school in every little corner you could find in that little old place. All because of the power of God was on that flock of people. Folks, we have not yet seen. D.L. Moody said it this way. He said, nor man nor woman has ever yet to see yet what the power of God can do to one person that is totally surrendered to God. We've not seen God's real power. But the more we surrender to God, the more we're faithful to God, the more we give our lives to God, Christians, the more we make Him our Lord, the more the power of God will be available for us. There's one thing that we need here at church. We need the power of God. When you walk through the doors of this church, you say, would you say it for my sake? Dear God, give our preacher power today. Would you say it for the choir's sake? Dear God, give our choir members the power of God. Would you do it for our instrument players that play these here? Oh God, fill them with power. Would you do it for our deacons? Would you do it for our staff members here? Oh God, give us power. We've got to have your power or we'll be slain by the lion. We need God's power. Young people, you need God's power. Young lion's going to slay some of you if you're not careful. Illegitimate children, sex before marriage. Young lions will slay you and wreck and ruin your virginity. God, they need your power. You need God's power too. Young married couple, you need the power of God. We need the power of God. The Bible said the power of God was upon Samson. Mom and daddy didn't understand it, but yet this was of God. God's power is available. Church, pray for power. Church worker, nursery workers, you need a lot of power. You moms and dads raising a family. Well, I shouldn't use that word raise. You raise horses and cows and pigs. You train children. The Bible says, train up your child. It doesn't say, raise your child. Raising is feeding and clothing. We need to go beyond just the feeding and clothing. We need to go to the training. Teaching them how to be men and women of God. Teach them how to say, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir. Teach them how to open up the doors for the elderly. Somebody say, amen. Teach them how to tithe. Teach them how to tithe. Teach them Sunday school is important. Teach them that the B-I-B-L-E, oh, that's the book for me. Teach them those things. Our little kids back here last Sunday, I had the biggest time. I had the biggest thrill. Back there learning that song, you happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you and I said, now kids, come on now. I said, really clap those hands. And boy, they got into it. They stood like little soldiers and they said, if you happy and you know it, clap your hands. Boy, they got into it. If you happy and you know it, stomp your feet. Man, they was going to town. Y'all saw them last Sunday night. Happy and you know it, do all three. Amen. They got excited. What we're doing, we're training them to be little soldiers for Jesus. Teach them, take the Word of God and hold it up to them and say, the Bible is the Word of God. And have them repeat it. Take those little children and say, the Bible is the Word of God. Now, Danny, you say that the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God, Daddy. Teach them those things. Get you an old magazine, it's got a liquor bottle in it. Pull out that old magazine, that liquor bottle in it, and hold it up in front of it and point to it and tell those little children, look, bad, bad, no, no, devil's juice, devil's juice, devil's juice. Teach them to hate sin. Amen. Well, I was teaching my kids to hate liquor and beer. And when my boys was little, and Dana, we'd be walking like from the car to Walmart or to Kmart or something like that. And if we'd see a beer can or something, well, we'd just go over and bounce on it. Embarrassed mama, we just bounce on that beer can. One day, me and Ben and Jordan, we was walking to one of the stores up there in Gastonia, and I said, boys, look, I see a can of devil's juice. I said, sick it. They ran over there, and they went, ah! Hit that thing, and that thing was half full, and when they came home, mama thought they were drinking. One thing I'm telling them that thing, because I never want liquor to touch their lips. I'm going to say this to give glory to God. I can't say that. I can't say that I've never smoked. I can't say that I've never tasted alcohol. But my wife can. My wife never had liquor or beer ever to her lips. My wife never one time had a cigarette to her lips. Now she chews tobacco. Only away from church. And I hate kissing her when she's got a wad of tobacco in her mouth. That's the man, if I was a woman and my husband come home with that stuff and that stuff come down his face, man, I'd never kiss him. But you hush, Fanny. I know it. Preacher always stays in trouble. I'm a lot bigger target than most of y'all up here. Y'all got cover. I'm just out here and open. But you know what? It is possible. It is possible that our boys and girls can grow up and never know what beer or liquor or wine tastes like. It's possible that our boys and girls can grow up and never have a cigar or a cigarette or chewing tobacco or snuff in their mouths. It is possible that our boys and girls can grow up and be virgins until the day they say, I do, and make a commitment to their man or their woman. It is possible. It's possible. If the power of God would fall on those kids and we would teach them that the power of God is available for those children and those teenagers, and then if they'll see the power of God on our lives and if we'll set the example with the power of God, it's possible. I take little old Katie. Where's she at? I'm going to get her. I take little old Katie. It's like decking cows got their little baby. That's the way I like them out there asleep. I'll take little Katie and I'll set her up like this and I'll say, Katie. I say, Katie, say, dad, 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 dad. Katie goes, hmm. Then I'll go like this. I say, dad, 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 dad. And Katie goes, And then every once in a while, I'll pick her up again. I say, Katie, now you say, dad, 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 dad. What you trying to teach her? I'm trying to teach her that her daddy's important. The heck with mama. I want this child to have the power of God on her life. And every once in a while, you're going to get me in trouble. What do you mean I better not go home tonight? I might have to go to the Waffle House and eat for sure that night. That's for sure. I'll take her and I'll teach her, say, dad, dad, dad. One day, I think it was a couple weeks ago here in church. Y'all hear Katie shouting? Dad, 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 dad. Y'all hear that? Dad, 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 dad. We're working with Katie. She's going to take some work. But you know what? Our goal is to teach her just like we taught the other three. That this Bible. Katie, look here. Hey, Katie, there you are in the nursery. Honey, Daddy says this Bible's the Word of God. Honey, look back here. Look up here at your daddy, honey. I want you to know that this Bible is the Word of God. Hey, look up here, baby. You see this, baby? Katie, the Word of God, the Bible, honey. Mean it. Yeah. They need to see the power of God in their lives. I'm not the best father in the world. I'm not the best husband in the world. And I'm certainly not the best pastor in the world. There's one thing about it, my heart's desire is that we'll have the power of God in our lives. For the young lions are roaring. The young lions are seeking to the vine. The young lions. But the power of God is after you. This week of revival, when you walk through the doors of this church, you pray this prayer, oh God, fill our evangelist, Brother Danny, with the power of God. Fill the Bradshaws with the power of God when they sing Monday night. Fill the Rochesters with power when they sing Tuesday night. Fill Brother Reggie Sadler and his family Wednesday night with the power of God. Fill our folks with the power of God. Fill our choir with the power of God. Fill this church with the power of God that it'll be so full of the glory of God. It'll just get a little cloudy in here. Amen. The power of God. Do you want it? It's available. Ask for it. Ask for God's power. As we stand on our feet with our heads bowed, ask for God's power tonight for your life. Ask for God's power tonight for this ministry. Ask for the power of God. Instrument players, would you come please and play something softly on the instruments? This altar is open. Would you come tonight and seek God's power tonight? Would you gather around this altar tonight and pray for God's power tonight? Would you come tonight before they start playing the instruments? Would you come right now? Just come right now and pray for God's power tonight. Mothers and fathers, you need God's power for those children. Grandmothers and grandfathers, you need God's power for those grandchildren. Oh, my soul, your sons and daughters are lost and need. You need God's power on your life. You need for God to put something in you that the world can't put in you, that you can't put in you. You need God's power tonight. The Holy Spirit of God will give you that power, that witnessing power, that boldness, that compassion, that love, that zeal. That power is available tonight. Oh, let's pray for God's power, the revival this week. Thy strength that's available for every one of us. Oh, Father, tonight we need Thy power. Oh, God, send the power. Oh, God, send the fire tonight, Lord. Father, God, bless us tonight. Oh, Lord, may we taste that sweet Spirit, the Holy Spirit tonight, and it be as sweet as honey in our lips tonight, and in our thoughts and in our hearts. Oh, God, Lord, we pray for that power. Lord, we need revival, Lord. We need reviving again, dear Lord. Lord, we need Thy power. Brother Danny needs Thy power. All the singers need Thy power. The preacher needs Your power. Every church member here needs Thy power. Oh, every deacon needs Thy power. Every church worker needs the power. The nursery worker needs the power. The boys and girls need the power. The teenagers need the power, God. Oh, God, send the power. The power to say no to sin and to say yes to You. The power to say no to say no to worldliness and to say yes to righteousness. Oh God, give us that power. Give us that power tonight. Father, do it tonight. Oh God, as we gather around this altar here tonight, Lord, we pray for Your power. Oh God, Lord, send revival, Lord. Oh God, Lord, bless our church. Meet the financial needs of this church. Oh God, Lord, put a sweet spirit here in this place, Lord. Oh God, send us the power. Oh God, send us the power. Oh Father, we believe You have the power to save, the power to forgive, the power to walk in righteousness, the power to live for Thee, dear Lord. Give us that power. Give us that supernatural power that comes in knowing You through the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that You do that. Every one of us here tonight, God, do it for us. Oh God, we're so weak. Sometimes we need Your power. We're tempted so many times. God, we need Your power. We need Your power tonight. Oh, God, did You pray? Did You pray for God's power tonight? The young lions are outside. They're roaring against us. We need God's power. The devil's a roaring lion. Oh, we need God's power. We've got to have God's power. We've got to have God's power. We need God's power. We need God's power. Let's stand to our feet and be dismissed. I wonder before we leave, it's about 15 after 7. I wonder if somebody want to give a word of testimony right quick. Let's stop. Let's just see anybody would like to testify before we leave. And revival tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Calling for snow. I'm not calling for snow. They may be calling for snow. I'm not calling for snow. But if it does snow and it melts, you come. Hey, man, we're going to have this service, Lord willing. You come. But that's in God's hand. Anybody want to testify before we leave? Yes, Sister Martin. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Pray for her husband. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he'd get saved this week? We get God's power move. We'll live and walk right. God's power be there. Anybody else want to testify? God bless you, sister. God bless you. Amen, honey. God bless you. Yes. Amen. Yes, it is. Yeah, that's it. Amen. Amen. No thorns, no crowns. Amen. No lies, no honey. Amen, Sister Jean.
I'd like to thank the Lord tonight for saving him. I really do. I thank everybody that's been singing. I really mean for you to be singing tomorrow. Some people say, well, you get the Bible, you're serving the Lord.
Bless your heart.
Bless her heart. I pray to the Lord tomorrow that the fluid's going to be all right, and that'll be my sign that I'm going to have the surgery.
God bless. God bless. God bless her. I can't feel what she's feeling. I have no idea what she's going through. But I know that little gal there and her husband, they've been through the fire. Seems like one battle after the other. Let's pray for God's power. Oh God, tonight, we need your power. We need God's power. Anybody else want to testify? Yes, ma'am. Amen, honey. We sure will. That's right. Anybody else want to give word of testimony? You want to praise the Lord tonight before we go? Brother Esther? All right. Amen. All right. Brother Esther, amen. God bless Brother Esther. Boy, he helped me. He gives me this water every service. I appreciate that. He's a blessing. Anybody else want to say something? Testify. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that'd be a good thing to do. All the men now, before every service this week, 15 minutes before the service, come early if you can, and we'll go back here to the prayer room and have prayer. And I think if the ladies want to go pray somewhere, where you ladies been praying at? Back there. Okay, you ladies want to come early, 15 minutes or so, or as early as you'd like to come, go back there and just start praying. Men, you get here, just go back there and start praying. Let's pray that God give us power. All right, the children, you go over there. That's good. The children, you go over there and pray too. Amen. They can pray. Anybody else want to testify? All right. I'll see you tomorrow night. Amen. Say amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Rushing by.